The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
The government is set to approve publication of a long-awaited report on sexual abuse in boarding and day schools in Ireland. They're also expected to announce a statutory inquiry into potentially thousands of historical sexual abuse cases. Pat Leahy, political editor of the Irish Times, joins me now. Pat, good morning.
Morning, Anton.
Pat, will you remind us the background of this? This started with the revelations from Blackrock College.
Yeah, that's right. It goes back to 2 years ago, an RT radio documentary called Blackrock Boys. And the centerpiece of that was the story of two brothers, David and Mark Ryan, who were both sexually abused by priests at Blackrock and the junior school that's attached to Blackrock College, Willow Park. And they didn't know about each other's abuse. They only found out about it many years after they were in school. And they finally came to tell their story on the RTE documentary when that was broadcast. And that, I suppose, opened the gates for, I suppose, a medium-sized flood of similar stories from people who had been at school, both in Willow and Black Rock, but also in other schools, some of them run by the Holy Ghost Fathers, who are now called the Spiritans, which is the religious order that runs Black Rock College, I suppose kind of a successor to the order that runs the college now, and a number of other high-profile fee-paying schools, but also in other schools run by different orders. So, cut a long story short, following this, the publicity and people coming out and telling their stories, Minister for Education Norma Foley set up what's called a scoping inquiry, and that was headed up by Mary O'Toole, who's a senior barrister, a senior counsel. And that report, and I suppose the purpose of that report was to, as the title says, scope out the nature and extent of the problem and to recommend to the government what steps it might take. And that is the stage we are now at. That report, I'm told it runs to over 700 pages. That was delivered to the minister at the beginning of the summer. She and her officials have been considering it since. She will brief the cabinet about it today. Cabinet is back for its first meeting after the August break today. It is likely to decide to publish the report in due course. Just not sure when the report will be published, Anton, whether it will be this week or whether there will be further consultations with survivors. And after that, it's expected that there will be a statutory inquiry. And when that, although this decision may not be reached today by ministers, when that statutory inquiry completes its work, there's likely to be a redress scheme for survivors of abuse in Blackrock or in schools run by the Spiritans, but in boarding and day schools all over the country run by religious orders.
And when it does publish, Pat, one assumes it'll have to be fairly heavily redacted given the issues there are around privacy and the issues there are around due process.
Yeah, you would expect so. I mean, I think the contents of the report are being held pretty tightly around government. Excuse me, I've spoken to some people who've been briefed on it. I understand it makes for pretty grim reading in large part, as I suppose you would expect, given the subject. To the extent it will be redacted and so forth, I just don't know about that. I understand that, in many cases, survivors may not wish, they wish to tell their stories, but they may not wish to be identified or to have their names published. And so I suppose that's something that has to be taken into consideration as well.
Do we have a sense of the report's scope in terms of the likely numbers of cases it may have revealed, the period in question and the schools in question?
So we have some pointers to it. After the initial publicity, and I suppose it's worth mentioning that many people came on to RTE's Liveline with Joe Duffy and told their stories, which is, I suppose, classic example of you know, radio as and that sort of program as a real public service. It emerged that there was 140 people. Patsy McGarry reported in the Irish Times that 140 people had reported instances of sexual abuse involving, it was alleged, 18 different members of staff there, and some of those have been investigated by Gardaí at the time. When the scoping inquiry was set up, the government asked for, are they people who are running the scoping inquiry, that their own website and so forth. They asked people, survivors, to get in touch with them if they wish to tell their stories. They received more than 200 submissions, and my understanding is that the report features allegations and stories of abuse in a wide variety of schools run by different religious orders. I suppose your listeners, many of them, will have experience of in their own schools being run by different religious orders around the country, and I think the. Now, look, we'll have to wait and see what the report says. But certainly the feeling I get from people who have been briefed on it would suggest that, we could be talking of thousands of stories of abuse in these schools.
Now, if that then leads to, as you say, a statutory inquiry and a redress scheme, we saw with Lafoy the kind of issues that there are in terms of the burden of proof and the issues that there are in who picks up the tab for redress in that kind of scheme. Have you any indication what the government's thinking is on that?
I don't, to be honest. Apart from there is a feeling, maybe you could call it a determination in government, that the orders themselves will make a substantial contribution to the costs of any redress scheme. The only thing is we've heard that before. One of the first, I suppose, there's been a long and pretty grim story of Ireland's past when it comes to institutional sexual abuse. One of the first instances of that was back over 20 years ago, when stories of sexual and physical abuse first began to circulate relating to industrial schools and orphanages, many of which were also run by religious orders. And there was a redress scheme set up to compensate victims of sexual abuse, which went on to be, was of limited interest to go into it right now, but as to, there was a controversy over who met the costs for it. The initial costs were estimated first to be no more than 100 million, and then it was going to be 200 million. The religious orders did a deal who were, I think there was about 20 religious orders who were involved in the running of these schools and whose members had been accused by survivors of sexual and physical abuse. And they undertook to pay for half the costs of the redress scheme. But crucially, that contribution was capped. The whole thing ended up costing, I think, 1.4, 1.5 billion euros, of which the state met the vast majority of those costs. So I think that there will be certainly be a caution in government that whatever agreement that it comes to with the religious orders, that it's a good deal more watertight in terms of sharing the burden of the costs than the previous one.
And of course, a difficult deal to strike, because you're not dealing with one single religious order about one institution. You're dealing with a whole load of individual fiefdoms and congregations and orders with whom you have to come to some kind of arrangement when they are financially incentivized to try to get this through a courts process.
Yeah, and now what happened the last time, just with the institutions, the residential institutions redress scheme, was that the orders did, or most of the orders, nearly all the orders, negotiated as a group, and they then made individual contributions to pay for the redress scheme. Some of that, a small amount of that, was in cash. A lot of it was in property which was donated, which had been previously owned by the religious orders and was then donated to the state, or was the title of it was transferred to the state. But in those cases, it's very difficult to see what actual cash benefit that the state realized from that, because in many cases these were institutional buildings and lands which were already used for health and education purposes, had been funded by the state. And of course it proved very difficult to put a value on. So if you had a school or a health facility that had been owned by the religious orders, but effectively financed by the state, its operations having been financed by the state, it's very difficult to put actually a value on that, to disaggregate the state's contributions over the year, but also to establish a market value for that. So I suppose these are all lessons that the state side might want to take on if and when they come to sit down with the representatives of the orders. Some orders have already made provision. I think the Jesuits have paid out compensations to the survivors of sexual abuse. And it has to be said that some of the orders have, you know, they've expressed a willingness to engage with survivors. I know the Holy Ghosts have done this, and, you know, they want to accommodate survivors. They want to hear their stories and in some instances pay them compensation, all of which, it has to be said, is a marked contrast to the sort of attitude that many people had when complaints were made back in the past about these things. But one further point I suppose to make about it is that, you know, when survivors tell their stories of abuse, I mean, that's a different thing to a court making an adjudication of legal liability to the on the part of the order. So, and again, you know, that's something that I think they will try and learn the lessons from what has gone on in the past, and to make the experience a, and one thing that certainly officials would stress is that they want to make whatever structures are set up, they want to make them, you know, very survivor-centric and survivor-focused.
Well, undoubtedly, it's something we will be returning to on the programme. Pat, thank you very much. That's Pat Leahy, political editor with the Irish Times. If you've been affected by anything raised in this item, you can contact the Rape Crisis National Helpline at 1800 77 8888, or the Samaritans at 116 123.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.